While we're getting organized, just a couple housekeeping things. Some people have asked about the Christmas schedule, whether they have to go to Mass on Sunday and Christmas. Yes. Last year you got a 2-for-1, this year you're making up for it. The second thing is, this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, is always known as Gaudete Sunday, which is the Latin word for rejoice. And on Gaudete Sunday, and also the fourth Sunday of Lent, Laetare Sunday, the priest wears rose, not pink. Actually, it doesn't bother me, but just get that out there. This Sunday's homily is about 2 years in the making, and it's on a rather important topic. It's on the topic of internet pornography. And you may ask yourself two questions. Why is he talking about it? And why is he talking about it now? And I hope to answer both of those questions and more in the course of the homily. Yeah, as the shepherd, this kind of answers the first question, of a parish community, of a church, of the body of Christ, when the body of Christ faces an affliction, as the divine physician entrusted with the care of the body, it's the physician's job to address it. And this is an affliction that is permeated our entire society, our entire culture. Of every age group, from our very youngest people to our very oldest people, across genders, it afflicts both men and women, across ethnicities and cultures, it's everywhere. Everywhere. And it's extremely insidious. You ask myself, you ask any other pastor, it's one of those challenges in our time that destroys and is absolutely evil. And when you have something so destructive and so evil in our midst, it's my responsibility to address it. I have to. It's one of those things as a pastor where one day I have to give an account to God. And God may ask me, you knew this was going on, no one's particular circumstance, but in your culture, and you said nothing. That's the reason why it has to be addressed. Why address it on this particular Sunday? Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice, is about rejoicing in the coming of the Messiah. But as it pertains to this particular topic, it also means rejoicing in freedom. I rejoiced heartily in the Lord, says the prophet Isaiah. For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. This particular topic, internet pornography, is so insidious and so evil because, for a number of reasons, biologically, medically, one who is addicted to pornography and one who watches it with constancy, it has the same biological effect on the human brain as high-class drugs, as heroin. The dopamine responsors and receptors in the brain demand it more and more as more and more is used. It enslaves us. It enslaves the individual who's snared by it. And Isaiah announces to heal the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners. How fitting. It's a sin that so often the devil uses, I think, as his choice weapon, his cudgel against us. And he has so many of them. But this one particularly is his favorite, because it can be done now, on a phone, mobily, anywhere, without anybody seeing, without anybody knowing. And if our consciences is working correctly and operating as they should, you know, when we do it, then we feel really bad about it. And the devil says, well, that's okay. Nobody knows. And if you feel really bad, you know, biologically in your brain, what makes you feel good again? It's wicked for that reason. And it destroys our ability to form relationships. Not only are we objectifying a person, participating in another person's sin, we're also turning that person into an object. And the more we become in a habit of turning people into objects, whether that's with internet pornography, whether that's in our workplaces, whether that's utilizing people for our own benefit, it dehumanizes people. And it cripples our ability to form relationships as God intends us to. And particularly intimate relationships. I can't tell you how many times myself or other priests or pastors that I know have heard time and again from married couples how this has affected them. And when the revelation of one of the spouses being addicted to or using pornography, it simply devastates the relationship. It's as devastating as infidelity. And it misleads individuals who hopefully are preparing themselves someday for marriage by placing unrealistic expectations and images in their mind of what their spouse should be, or comparing their spouse to what they see. And so it destroys that ability to form relationships. That's why I think the devil uses this as his choice weapon in the modern era. And as I said, it is addictive. Once it snares you and grabs a hold of you, it doesn't let go. Not easily. Not at all. And the longer it goes on in one's life, the more and more the addiction takes root. And the harder it is to root out. By no means, you know, am I judging or casting a lot of blame on those who are addicted by it. It's like a drug. But we have to believe that through the power of God's grace and the redemption that Christ has brought into the world, that we as a society and as individuals can be set free from this. We have to. Because that's another weapon the devil uses. To make us believe through fear that you'll never be free of it. That's the weapon he uses really with any addict. You've been doing this for so long, you've tried to give up so many times and stay away from it so many times, you'll never be free. That's the voice of the evil one. And Christ comes to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to the prisoners, and to heal the brokenhearted. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it will happen on our first try or overnight. Doesn't mean that we might fail and have to go to confession, try again, fail, go to confession, try again. That's okay. Get on the road to recovery, so to speak. And perhaps over time, God's grace will operate in us and set us free. But that has to be our hope. That has to be our hope. It also can be our prayer from the second reading of St. Paul. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will also accomplish it. This is the beauty of our God. When he makes a promise, he does it. It's his very nature. He fulfills his word. And his word and his promise to us is freedom. That's what he desires us to do. Because God, who loves us and makes us and fashions us, does so to make us free, so that we can use that freedom wisely and well to love him with our whole heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And in order to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love God in the same fashion, we have to be free of this sin. Otherwise, it will cripple us. Advent is, strictly speaking, not a penitential season like Lent. But it's as good a time as any. If this is a particular sin that affects you in your life, or affects somebody you know, to address it. And you might ask yourself, how do I know if I'm really addicted to it? And there's a lot of measures that we could go into to look at that. But here's a really simple way. Christmas is in a week. If you can't go more than a week, you have a problem. I'd say the same to an alcoholic. If you can't go more than a week without a drink, you have a problem. And that might be a really good litmus test for us as individuals to see if this is an area that we need God's grace to really work and act and operate in our lives. And it's incumbent upon all of us to really pray for all of those who struggle with any form of addiction, but this one in particular. I imagine that in the future, in centuries to come, scholars and theologians and people will look back and be amazed at how rampant this was in our time. But we can do something about that. As individuals, as a community, as a church, we cannot participate in it. We can support those who struggle with it. And we can squash the sounds and the temptations of the evil one by proclaiming God's love for us and his desire for us to be free. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. These are the words of the Magnificat. These are the words of our responsorial psalm. These are the words on Mary's lips, who is a powerful intercessor for us, especially in the areas of purity and chastity. Seek her intercession and her aid, and be confident that with God's grace, this is something that our society and we as individuals can be free from. Christ Emmanuel comes to visit us in just a short week. And we do run out to meet him with rejoicing, with hearts made glad and hearts made pure, to welcome into our hearts and our homes him once more this year.